Would you please turn now to page 795, and we will read responsively Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal sons. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound, till the moon be no more. May we have dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. May his foes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live, may gold of Sheba be given to him, may prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. May it wave on the tops of the mountains. May its fruit be like Lebanon. And may they blossom forth in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people bless themselves by him. All nations call him blessed.
Our second reading comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 649 of the Hebrew Bible, the front of the Bible there in your pew. And I apologize, the bulletin says New Testament. You all students of the Bible know that that clearly is not the New Testament. So let's turn to Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. It can be found on page 181 in your New Testament. Hear these words. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery has made known to me by revelation. As I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has been revealed to its holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden by ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God and its rich variety might now be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in which we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Good stuff. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, on page 1, and this is truly in the New Testament, the very first page of the New Testament. But I want you to try to hear this very familiar story with new ears. Much of what we think we know is likely wrong. How many believe, and you don't have to show your hands, but how many of us grew up thinking that the wise men showed up that night that Jesus was born? Yeah, pretty much all of us. If you look at any creche, any manger scene, you see the camels parked out back and the dudes are out there. And how many people think there were three wise men? Yeah, well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't mention a number. It is likely that these folks showed up as long as 2 years after the birth of Jesus. So anyway, there's lots of clues in the Bible, but perhaps listening with new ears will help us. So hear these words of this beautiful story. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, today, as you well know, we mentioned it earlier, today is Epiphany Sunday, the day when obviously we celebrate the arrival of the wise men in Bethlehem to see the Christ child. But this morning, together, I want us to consider the meaning of this Epiphany, to think about the gifts that were brought to Jesus as a baby, and also to think about the gifts that we should bring to our Lord and Savior, our King of Kings. Well, that word Epiphany is a wonderful word, full of majesty and meaning. As you likely well know, capital E Epiphany is a Christian festival observed on January 6th, commemorating the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles in the persons of the Magi. That's what the dictionary tells us. But small e, Epiphany, means an appearance or manifestation, especially of a deity, of a God. But it also means a sudden intuitive perception of, or an insight into the reality or essential meaning of something, usually initiated by some simple, homely, or commonplace occurrence or experience. Well, this commonplace occurrence that we celebrate today is the birth of a child. But clearly, this is no ordinary child. And I hope and pray that each of these definitions of Epiphany have some relevance for you today. As you think back about this story, the story that we've studied over these past several weeks, think about who shows up to take notice of the birth of Jesus. Think about who it is that God picked to be the first to know about this monumental event. As we hear in Luke, lowly shepherds watching their flocks at night were told by an angel and by a multitude of the heavenly host that their long-awaited Messiah had been born in Bethlehem. Now, these shepherds were among the poorest and least respected men around, and they were probably Jews. And as we hear in today's passage from the Gospel of Matthew, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem to find the child who had been born king of the Jews. These men were probably Zoroastrian priests, astrologers, rich men who were clearly not Jewish. In the parlance of the day, these guys were Gentiles. Now, the point of all these stories is the understanding that Jesus came into the world to save all people. Poor people as well as rich people, Jews as well as Gentiles. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was light of all people. When these wise men from the east finally made it to Bethlehem, they found what they'd been searching. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, it probably looked like the front of your bulletin, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When you start to think about these amazing gifts, they were actually symbolic of the life that Jesus would lead. Gold is a precious metal to most cultures throughout time, and it was a worthy gift to offer the King of Kings. Frankincense was burned in the temple during sacrifices that were made by priests. And myrrh was used to anoint the dead and to prepare the body for burial. Now, clearly, Jesus was king. He was priest. And at one day, he would sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. These were truly amazing gifts offered freely and openly by these rich wise men as they came to worship the Messiah. But on this Epiphany Sunday of 2012, how can we respond to God's grace, to this astounding, unconditional love that God offers to each of us through Jesus? What are the gifts that we should offer to Jesus the Christ? What could we possibly offer to the Messiah that he would want? Well, we hear from Micah 6:8 an important rhetorical question, one that I'm sure many of you could recite from memory. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. We also hear from Matthew when a Pharisee, a lawyer, approaches Jesus and he tries to test him by asking this question, "Teacher, which commandments of the law is the greatest?" And Jesus responded to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Well, with these two things in mind, let us be very clear that God offers each of us God's love with no strings attached. None of us deserves God's love, and there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. All of that is a gift that Jesus has offered freely to us. But how then are you to respond? What are the gifts that you should offer to Jesus Christ? The simple answer is that you should give yourself to God. That's the best gift, the only gift that God wants from you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. For those of you who are the big picture kind of people, that explanation may be just right, may be exactly what you need to hear. But if you're like me, more specific, more linear, more concrete, you may want more. So let me offer you some specific ideas. Now, many people make New Year's resolutions, promises to themselves about ways that they will try to improve themselves. Now, when I mentioned New Year's resolutions, what did you think of? Well, I could see it. Many of you are rolling your eyes saying, "Oh, yeah, New Year's resolutions, those don't work for me." Well, recognize this. If you set your mind to it, you can change. You can improve your life response to Jesus. Because remember, with God, all things are possible. So let me call your attention to a book that came out originally in 2005. It was revised and improved in 2008. It's a book that our Bible study class studied several years ago. It's Michael Slaughter's Momentum for Life, Biblical Principles for Sustaining Physical Health, Personal Integrity, and Strategic Focus. It's a book that's mentioned on the back of your bulletin. In fact, I'm going to call your attention to that bulletin. But it is a book that is well worth your time to read. Slaughter offers us an acronym. He says DRIVE, D-R-I-V-E. And to Slaughter, that is a way to list out what you should do every day in order to provide true momentum into your spiritual life. So take a look at the back of your bulletin. There's the list of things that I'm going to describe to you. It's on the back there. The first D in DRIVE is daily devotion to God. Every day, you ought to offer praise and thanksgiving to God, just like the wise men, through practices like Bible study, through prayer, through journaling, through fasting, maybe reading devotional materials. You should D, devotion. The R stands for readiness for lifelong learning. Every day you should try to learn something, something new, something beyond your comfort and familiarity zone. Open your mind to what God is offering. The I in DRIVE stands for investing in key relationships, starting with your family. Every day you ought to spend time with people who are important to you. This is truly love in action, the I of investing in key people. The V stands for visioning for God's future in your life and in our church. Every day you should try to discern what it is that God is up to and how you can be part of God's kingdom work. And finally, the E in DRIVE stands for eating and exercise for a long and healthy life. Every day you ought to do something positive for your body through exercise and good nutrition. drive, to drive yourself to a better spiritual life. Well, I'd ask you to take some time this week to think about this, to consider how it is that you should respond to God's love. What are the gifts that you can offer back to God? I want to tell you something that you already know, but something that you need to hear again. God loves you unconditionally and absolutely. You want proof? Look at the amazing gift of Jesus Christ. There's your proof. The wise men brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh when they came to worship Jesus. But what God truly wants is you, plain and simple. That is your blessed calling, my sisters and brothers. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Amen.